That's how we speak to God in prayer. Our Father, again, this Lord's evening, in the precious name of thy well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, we draw aside another time to speak to thee before another gospel meeting. We do give thee thanks for every soul in this room who's been able to sing in truth, "We're traveling home to heaven above." Father, we do thank thee that it is absolutely possible for men and women and boys and girls here in this room in 1999 to be as sure of heaven as if they were already there, to know that all's well for the great eternity, to know that if they pass from time into eternity tonight, it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord, through no good in them and through no merit and nothing that they have done, but through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Have we not been singing, "The way to heaven is straight and plain, repent, believe, be born again"? Father, we just would thank thee for every soul in the room who has repented, for every soul in the room who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and for every soul that's born again and washed in Jesus' blood. We thank thee for the Savior. We thank thee for his great love wherewith he loved us. We thank thee for his coming from heaven to go to the cross to die, for the precious blood that he shed, for the atoning death that he died, and for the great salvation he provided on our old rugged cross. We bow this Lord's Day and give thee all the praise and all the glory. But Father, we have come tonight again to proclaim thy word and to remember those who are in our midst, and as yet they know not the Savior. They're not going to heaven tonight. Father, if they were to die as they are on the seat where they sit, in a moment of time they would be in hell. What a dreadful condition to be in. What a tragedy to find themselves in this, the latest moment of life's history. And after all they've heard, and after all they've known, they're not on the way to heaven, but they're on the way to hell. Father, we pray for such tonight. We're glad that they don't need to remain on that way. We're glad that they can turn and believe this very hour. They can trust the Savior even in this very gospel meeting. If they'll come in all their needs, if they'll come in sincerity acknowledging their guilt and their danger and put their trust in the Lord Jesus, we pray that they will remember then, in these brief moments that we will be together, how quickly they'll pass in light of eternity. How soon we'll rise and leave, and we long that the moment will all be to thy glory. So we ask that thou wilt draw very near tonight, from the opening of the meeting in the reading of thy word until the closing in prayer and the singing of the closing hymn. We pray that we might feel as we stand here, and those who are saved might know, and those who are unsaved might understand, that God is speaking, that God is drawing very near, and that thou wilt draw sinners to thee in this meeting tonight. Lord, we believe the urgency of this matter. We believe that souls are dying in their sins, and soon the Lord Jesus will come, and soon the door will close. It's time these souls were saved. We pray to move tonight, and we pray to save this very Lord's evening for thine own glory. We ask to bless the gospel wherever it's preached, wherever thy servants or brethren hurl the message. We look to thee that they might know God near them, and that they might know the warmth of thy presence and the joy of sinners coming to Christ. So we leave ourselves before thee. We look to heaven. Where else can we look? We look to thee expectantly. Bless us, we do pray, in the Savior's worthy name. Amen. Now we're further going to sing number 382. 382. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy day. He called thee in sorrow and pain. O sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. What if he should strive nevermore, but leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore? It's our prayer tonight as we sing the chorus of this hymn. O turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbor light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? We'll rise while we sing 382.
Glad you've come. We make you very welcome in the name
of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd ask you to keep the meetings in mind as we continue for this another week. If the Lord be not come when we're spared, we'll be here Monday to Friday at 8 o'clock, and then next Lord's Day at 7:30. Now the meetings are passing so very quickly. Soon they will be over, and soon another opportunity will be passed. And we have no doubt in our mind, because we've seen it in other places, that there's souls in this locality, souls in this district, yea, souls who have come through the doors of this little gospel hall, who will never hear again, because they'll be gone out into eternity. If it were you, I wonder, would you be ready? We thank you for coming. Try your very best to come back every night this week, if God spared you, and above all, seek the Lord Jesus where he may be found. And I want to read, please, a few verses in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4 and verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearts." And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Now a verse or so over in 2 Corinthians. We're thinking of Corinthians in chapter 6, over in the New Testament, coming in after Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 6 and verse number 2. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation." That's all I wish to read this evening, and I trust that God will bless the reading from his word. Now these verses that we have read in your hearing from Luke's Gospel chapter 4, they were spoken and read by the Lord Jesus Christ at the very beginning of his public ministry here on earth. They were read just after he had spent those 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness there, tempted by the devil himself. And he's just there about to begin his ministry, and there he is. He goes around and he's preaching in the synagogues in Galilee, and he's preaching the gospel, and he's speaking to men and women as he makes his way as a homeless stranger in the world as hands have made. And he uses the words that he has read here from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. And he uses them to show that he is a fulfillment of the very prophecy of Isaiah himself. And these words make such beautiful reading in our ears this evening, describing the gracious ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had come to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind. He had come to bind up all those who were in need. And he had come that he might help the poor. What a ministry the Lord Jesus Christ came here on earth to have. But you know, I just want to borrow one little phrase from what the Savior read so long ago, and I want to apply it tonight again in the Gospel, the beginning of the fourth week of these Gospel meetings here in Little Valley. I want to lift the words from verse number 19. He said he had come
to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I want to speak to you, if God may give me help, just for a few moments about the acceptable year of the Lord. What does it really mean? It signs something that is maybe beyond our understanding and our conception. I just want to simply look at it tonight as God's time of salvation. You see, what it really means is simply this. The time that God has pleasure in. That's what the acceptable year of the Lord means. It means the time of God's choosing. And as the Savior came to earth, he had come to declare the opening of the day of grace, a time of God's choosing, a time of God's pleasing, a time that God had defined and God had decreed, when men and women and boys and girls could hear the blessed news of the gospel, and when they could be saved, a time when the door of mercy would stand open wide, a time when the blessed, gracious invitation would go out to all mankind. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the 2nd of Corinthians, we read the parallel verse, and here's what the apostle, he writes there in that place, and here's what he says, behold now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What I want to get into your mind tonight in Lima Valley is simply this, that these February nights in 1999 are for you the acceptable year of the Lord. They are your day of opportunity. God, I believe, is speaking to souls in Lima Valley this February 1999. I believe that God is calling. I believe that God is speaking. I believe that the Spirit is striving. I believe that souls in these meetings are having their opportunity to be saved. I believe with all my heart that souls in these meetings, some of you are having your very last opportunity. I say some, but my friend, it may be all, because we believe with all our heart as we stand upon this gospel platform that soon the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. You know what I believe? And I'm not worthy of it, but I believe this, that I'm amongst the last gospel preachers in this day and age. Oh yes, there's been many a hurl that the cross has gone forth, but I believe that those who stand up in 1999 are amongst the very last in the day of grace. We're the last that the Master has sent out to declare the blessed news of salvation to guilty men and women and boys and girls. We're not much to look at, but friend, we have come to tell you another time that you can be saved, and it's time that you were saved, and the door stands open, but we have come to tell you the door is going to close. Might close this every night. What a night it would be if the Master of the house rose up 21st of February 1999 and the last soul was saved. You know, it's likely the last soul will be saved far from Lima Valley. Some soul in darkest Africa, from some mud hut, hear the message for the first time and come and trust the Savior. Some soul way there amongst the millions of China, along the banks of the great Yangtze River, and maybe they're hearing it just for the very first time tonight. And they drink the truth in, I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. And young boys and young girls from Lima Valley who heard it from mummy's knee, who heard it in their earliest and the first words you could ever repeat were, you must be born again. And the door closes tonight. And I want to tell you, you'll be closed out of heaven and shut up in hell for not loving God. But we've come to tell you it's the acceptable year of the Lord. We've come to tell you that it's your day of opportunity. And we've come to tell you you can be saved. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? I believe it's a time when God is calling. I believe it's a time when the voice of the Spirit can be heard. As we move through the book of Luke, we'll find this. We find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, that the Savior came to call men. He says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as he made his way into Jericho that day, he called a single soul. His name was Zacchaeus. A little man, and perhaps he had met the Savior only once before. Maybe he never met him before, I don't know. Could have been he was in his presence on one occasion with Matthew, there when he made that great supper, and he called all the people to meet the Savior. Maybe Zacchaeus was there, because they were in the same business together. They were tax collectors. Be that as it may, he said, I want to see the Savior, because Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. and he ran before, and the Sunday school scholars will remember he went up into the sycamore tree, and he wanted to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. I wonder, is there a soul that's come tonight to find the Savior? What a gospel meeting it would be if there was one in this room tonight, and you said, I want to find the Savior this 21st of February. I want to see him, I want to have him as my very own. You know, Zacchaeus got such a surprise when he found that the Savior was seeking him. You hear tonight and you say, I would love to be saved. I would love to find the Savior. I've been seeking for him now for days and weeks. I'd love to find him. Let me tell you, there is a Savior seeking for you. There is one, and tonight he's more keen to save you than you are to be saved. He yearns to save you. And you know, as the company makes its way along, in the midst of that vast throng, the Savior stops at the very tree where the man was, and he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The Savior was calling. I wonder, is he calling you? I wonder, is there one in this meeting? And in the nights that are past, you've heard the call of the Savior. I wonder, is he calling you this Sunday night? I believe, and we say with all our heart, the nights that are past, we've said it and we say it again tonight, I believe that God has brought you to the gospel meeting this evening. I believe that it's evidence that God is calling, that he has you here tonight. And God is calling for you tonight. He's calling you to repent. Oh, Zacchaeus had to make haste and come down. Here's a man, and he was far too high to be blessed. And the Savior said, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down and receive the Savior. I wonder, are you prepared to come down? I wonder, are you prepared to get off your high horse tonight? I believe I'm looking into the face of some, and they're on their high horse, and they've got their own views of themselves, and they don't really see themselves as guilty sinners in the sight of a holy God. They wouldn't want to take their place as absolutely ruined, guilty, depraved sinners. Oh no, you feel you're a little bit good, and you say there's some good in us all. My friend, this book says there is none righteous, no, not one, there is none good. There's not a soul with a pinprick of goodness about them. Oh, my soul, we're all guilty before God. Are you prepared to come and take the guilty sinner's place? Right down at the feet of the Lord Jesus, down prostrate on the ground. And you know what Zacchaeus said? He heard the call. What does the Bible say? He said he made haste. My friend, this is a matter that requires the utmost haste. There's souls in Nineveh Valley lingering in your sins. Young man, you're going to linger too long and you're going to lose your soul. Oh yes, you're trifling. Souls in these meetings are trifling. We feel it with all our heart. We feel that you're trifling in your sins and you're going to miss the Savior. Oh, you say, I intend to be saved, my friend. Intending to be saved is absolutely no good whatsoever. My friend, I want to ask you when you intend to be saved. This little man, Zacchaeus, he intended to be saved that day that the Savior was passing by, and as soon as he heard the voice and the call, he made haste, and he came right down the tree to where the Savior was, and he received him gladly. Oh, I have heard in days and weeks that are past of souls who sat in gospel meetings just like this, in gospel meetings not so very far from here. I heard of one who sat, and she trembled in her sins, and she shed tears as the gospel was preached. You know, the meetings came and went, and a month or two went past. Took ill one night. 10:30, she took ill. Before the morning, she was in a coma. The next day, they switched off the life support. I wondered, did she ever come? My friend, if that was you, and this was the very series of meetings, yea, this was the very night that the call was coming for the last time. You see, Zacchaeus was hearing it for the last time, I believe. The Savior was passing through, he was going to Calvary. Last time he would ever visit Jericho was that day that he passed through. And here's a man in the midst of all the multitude. He said, I'm going to get the Savior, and I'm going to get him today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Is he calling tonight? I believe he's calling. I believe he's pressing close. I believe you know you need to be saved, and yet you're lingering. The door's about to close. acceptable year of the Lord, a time when the Spirit is convicting. Oh, yes. We who stand upon this platform are under absolutely no illusion. Salvation's nothing to do with us. We're under absolutely no illusion that if souls are saved in these meetings, it will be no glory and no credit to us. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's by the power of the Holy Spirit alone, and only as the Spirit speaks and the Spirit drives, are souls ever led to Christ. If you're in the gospel meeting tonight, and the Spirit is not striving with you, God help you. And if you've not heard His voice, God have mercy upon you and awaken you up tonight and speak to your soul. Maybe He has spoken to you in the past, young man, and you've known you've needed to be saved, and maybe He's not striving tonight. He's gone away. You know, the Bible says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. And God, in His mighty power through the Holy Spirit, He comes to souls, and He comes to convict them of their sins. I wonder, was there a time in the past when you knew you needed to be saved and you turned away and you weren't prepared to move forward and to trust the Savior? If there's even a spark in your soul tonight, even a slight desire that God will speak, my friend, don't stop until you find the Savior. And our brother Willie told you of a young man in the last series of meetings we had together outside Doak. And he came along, and the first week he didn't attend very well, and then he started to come. You know why he started to come well? Because he found the Spirit was speaking again. It had been many years since he'd heard the voice. You know what the young man had concluded? He said, I thought I'd missed it. I thought the Spirit had ceased to strive, and I was lost forever. And he said that second Sunday or Monday night, I was so glad that I heard His voice again. He said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. He's convicting of sin. Just like that fig tree so long ago, when the Savior told the story that the owner of the vineyard, and he came 3 years seeking fruit, and he said, I find none. I wonder how long he's been coming to your soul seeking fruit. I wonder how long it is since you've had a spark of life in your soul. I wonder how long you've lain dormant. The owner says, cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And the gracious dresser, he says, leave it alone this year also. I'm going to dig about it, I'm going to dung it, and if it bear fruit well, and if not, then thou shalt cut it down. I believe the Spirit is striving in these meetings. I believe He's speaking in this very gospel meeting. What if the word were passed? This night should be thy last. Where would thy soul be cast? Where hide thy face? Oh, sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. What? If He should strive nevermore, He's telling you about your sin. Young woman, you know you need to be saved. Young man, you know it is right to be saved. Young man, you're not prepared to be finished with your sins. You'd rather have your companions. That's why we sung that opening hymn, my old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go. Oh, I wish I could have more strength. I wish I could have more power to urge you to not to turn away from the Savior tonight. Not to turn away from the strivings of the gracious Holy Spirit. And He speaks to your soul this Lord's Day night, a time when souls are considering. I wonder, is there a soul who's weighing up the matter tonight? I wonder, are you like Felix? Felix was a little man in Acts chapter 24, and he heard the message in all its power by the power of the Apostle Paul. And Felix trembled, a little man trembling in his sins. He just said he's going to get saved. Acceptable year of the Lord. Felix is going to be saved tonight. And what he said, go thy way. Go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. I will call for thee. And you can search the pages of that book from beginning to end. You'll never find that the Spirit spoke again to Felix. You'll never find
sign that the spirits drove another time for that little man. And the book closes. Felix is likely in hell tonight. He missed the acceptable year of the Lord. I must hurry at the time when souls, sinners can be careless. We read of a man who looked well, and he was careless. Here was a man, and he made an assumption that was absolutely wrong. He looked at his barns, and he looked at his fields, and he brought forth plentifully, and he says, I have much goods laid up for many years. I'm going to say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here was a man looking for another time. Here was a man, and he said, I'm not going to be saved tonight. He was absolutely careless of his soul's salvation, and you're in this meeting and you say, I'm going to be saved, but not. We read of a man who looked 12, and he was careless. Here was a man, and he made an assumption that was absolutely wrong. He looked at his barns, and he looked at his fields, and he brought forth plentifully, and he says, I have much goods laid up for many years. I'm going to say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here was a man looking for another time. Here was a man, and he said, I'm not going to be saved tonight. He was absolutely careless of his soul's salvation, and you're in this meeting and you say, I'm going to be saved, but not in this series. I'm going to be saved, but not this Sunday night. Your God said, thou fool. This night, here was what the man said. His plans were based on assumptions. Every plan that I ever look at, there's assumptions underpinning it. This man's assumptions were all wrong, he said, many years, and God said, this night. Tell me now if it was tonight. If it was tonight, the little date in the calendar of heaven, 21 February 1999, your soul's called into eternity, thy soul required of thee. Are you ready to go? My friend, I wouldn't put my head on the pillow tonight unless I knew my sins were forgiven. Acceptable year of the Lord, the time when sinners can come. We're glad to tell you can come tonight. We're glad to tell you the work of redemption is absolutely, totally complete and finished. We're glad to tell you the Savior has shed his precious blood. And you have no fitness that you require. There's no goodness required in you. You have nothing to do to tidy up your life. But just like Charlotte Elliot's little hymn, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. When did you come? My friend, just come now. How should you come? Just come as you are, guilty, lost, and hell deserving, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that I've got my little burden of a message across. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation.
The 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel, please. Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Then he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 25, please. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 25, and verse 13. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. Verse 22. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. That's the Apostle Paul. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the palace of hearing, or the place of hearing, with the chief captains and the principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. Verse 1 of chapter 26. Then said Agrippa unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. Now we'll break into the story down at verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make me mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things were hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then said Agrippa unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. The Lord will bless again this public reading from his precious word. I would like tonight, in the closing moments of this meeting, with help from God himself, to bring before you what's upon my heart. I would like to speak to you about a young man who was almost lost but saved, and another man who was almost saved but lost. You see, almost, whenever one thinks about being almost, there's a something about it that strikes awe to the soul. A young man, we don't even know his name, on the very brink of eternity, he was almost over the boundary lines, but he could see it. He died that day. Then there was a king called Agrippa in Acts 26. And he stood on the very threshold of salvation. He had a desire within his breast to know his sins forgiven. He was almost in, but he turned aside. He missed salvation that day, but he never died that day. He lived for years after. You see, I'm among those who believe that in one gospel meeting, you could see your doom. I used to think whenever I was a wee boy that if I missed my day of grace, then I'd be in eternity. But I have learned by bitter experience that many a one has missed their day of grace and lived to their old people and prospered in this world, and they had within their breast a soul that was already damned. You see, that's why you have to listen to what our brother said this evening. Whenever the Lord spake that day and gave that cry in the gospel, there was a commencement going out to a world of sinners. This is the day of grace. That will end with the coming of Christ. But I want to bring it home to you tonight as an individual in this meeting. For this text has been in my mind in Acts 26 for 4 days. And I want to be truthful with you. I evaded it and evaded it and evaded it. Till tonight I had to read it. I wonder if it for you. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost lost but saved. You know where my mind turns to? Luke 23. Here I see two young men. You know they were criminals. There were three of them. One was called Barabbas. But the man in the center cross took Barabbas' place, and Barabbas went free. And here in the grace of God, there's two young men, one on either side of the Savior. And I believe they were probably the same distance apart, you know. And I don't read at any time that the Savior spake first to either of them. As they hung there that day, they were both blaspheming. And they were both mocking. But there is a unique distinction. Now here's a distinction. On the brink of eternity, the Holy Spirit of God draws near and he speaks to both of them, I believe, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Because God is no respecter of persons. He whispers a little word into the ear of a sinner. And when the sinner responds, he whispers again. And when he responds, he whispers louder. And here's a young man and he's living in his last hour. As he hangs upon that cross, there a truth dawns upon his soul. I have got to meet. You see, he said to his companion, dost not thou fear God? You see, you have got to meet. Be absolutely sure about this, that you will meet God. Well, I know whenever the old man preached, you know, they said if you die in your sins, you'll meet God before the morning. You'll not meet him for 1,000 years at least. You'll be in hell for those 1,000 years that Christ reigns on earth. But you will meet God. You might have very little time for the message of the gospel tonight. But that doesn't alter the fact that you will meet God. And maybe tonight in this gospel meeting, you're living in your last hour. This boy was living in his last hour, you know. And he knew it. And there's many a one who've been living in their last hour and never knew it. Oh, I told you before about people I've worked with. And every time I drive past their home, you know, there's a shudder goes down my spine. I'll tell you more. I was doing my VAT returns last night. And I saw Brian's last invoice. And as I wrote his name in the book, I wondered, is his name written there? And the page whitened there. He was living in his last hour, this boy, as he hung beside the Savior. Maybe you're living in your last hour tonight in this meeting. You say, well, I am healthy and I'm well. So am I. I could be dead before midnight. If heaven decided tonight to close its hand on your breath, where would you be? You say, I'm almost saved. Are you? This boy was almost lost, living in his last hour, and he realizes this. The soul's soon to leave the body. I'm soon to go out to forever. And I'm not saved. I believe he came from a good home, you know. He was a Jew enemy because no Gentile ever was crucified. And he knew from the scriptures of truth that he had God to meet. Mother, you have God to meet. Father, you have God to meet. Or you might put it in the back recesses of your mind. And you say, give me just that little longer for this world. Man, it seems oh so bright. And you know what? I have companions at school and I have friends at university. And I'm really having a nice time. And I want to try a little of the world. And I have heard of people who went out into the world and they enjoyed sin and God saved them. That's true. But I have heard of people who went out into the world and enjoyed sin and they didn't get saved. And you could be living in your last hour tonight. But here he was, you know. And he looked at his last hope. It was the only hope. There's no point in telling this man to reform himself. He said, you'd have no boy convincing this boy he was a sinner. Absolutely none. You say he was a sinner because he's a thief. Not at all. He's a thief because he's a sinner. You maybe never were a thief, but you're just as big a sinner as he was. No difference. It's not being a thief that makes you a sinner. It's the way you were born. You see, as if God sees you tonight, you might have trouble coming to terms with your sin. God has none. And if you don't face your sin now, and own up to in the presence of God as you sit in this meeting in your own soul, God's right and I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. And I'm bound for eternity. And I have no hope. No hope. Over in Kilrea this last week, a man of 47 years of age. No limit to some. A week ago or more, he had been down in Dublin to see a specialist about his disease. He heard this man in Dublin could maybe do something for him. And he came home from Dublin, and lying in his own bedroom, another businessman came to see him. He said, "Robert, how are you?" He says, "They can do nothing for me." He says, "What am I going to do?" And that man, an unbeliever, stood right out the window. But at last, he had to turn around and look into his eye. He says, "Robert, that's reality. Tonight is gone into eternity. You might be here and living in your last hour and not know it. I want to point you to the last hope and the only hope. Not to works now. You can reform that life of yours, and you can dress yourself up a wee bit better. And you can begin to read your Bible every night and say prayers before you go to bed. And if you die when you're saying them, you'll be in hell without any hope. Salvation is not in the saying prayers." What would you tell a boy like this? You say, "Do the best you can." They say, "Talk sense. I'm a rascal. Turn over a new leaf." He says, "No more pages in the book is closing." What are you going to tell this boy? "Are you really a bad sinner after all? Will God not have mercy upon you? Will he not even look at your goodness?" He says, "Listen, I'm a rascal. Hope you know you're one, for I'm one. We're all sinners, you see." What did he do? He turned his eyes. I looked on the person of Christ. He said, "In this truth, you know, it must have been in the scriptures he learned from his mother's knee. This is the one that's winning for my transgression. This man's going to have a kingdom one day." And before the Savior was about to suffer for sin, here's what he says, "Lord, remember me, and thou comest into thy kingdom." You see, salvation's without, not within. He didn't look inside to see if there's any change. He looked out. What was he doing? He's placing his absolute trust in the man in the tree. And I want to tell you something now, and I say this with reference to my Savior's name. To the world at that moment, the Savior had lost it all. He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the Son of God, and here he is hanging on a cross beyond recognition of a man. And as far as the world's concerned, he's a failure. But this poor man saw beyond the cross. He saw a resurrection. He knew that man would die and be raised again. He says, "Lord, remember a poor sinner like me when you come into your kingdom." What did the Savior say? "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The young man never uttered another word. You know what he done? He just rested there. He says, "The Lord says I'm for paradise. That's good enough for me." He went to him and said, "Tell me, how do you feel?" And I'd say, "I feel miserable. I'm in pure agony. But whenever I breathe my last and they break my legs, I'm leaving for my last home. I'm to the land of fearless day." He's in heaven tonight. There he was on the brink of eternity. He was almost lost, but he could see him. Whenever I turn to Acts chapter 26, here's a man called Agrippa. And he had by his side his sister, Bernice. We're not going to discuss her relationship with her brother. But Bernice and Agrippa and Drusilla, Acts 24, the girl who sat beside Felix, were two sisters and one brother. Their father was King Herod Agrippa the First. He removed the head from James the Apostle. He put him to death. Now listen. If salvation were left to men and you had martyred someone belonging to men, you'd be no hope. Listen to the grace of God. Agrippa the First, their father, took the head of an apostle called James. And yet with all Drusilla and Agrippa the Second and Bernice, heaven says, "Let them hear it. Tell them the gospel." Ah, you see, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Let them know there's a pardon, flow free and eternal. And that day Agrippa came with Bernice, you know. Listen to what it says in chapter 25. "And on the morrow when Agrippa was come with Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains," man, there are a crowd here, and the principal men of the city. For Festus, the governor, was there. He was Agrippa, a man the whole world, all the eyes were upon him. And there's Paul, that wee man is brought before him, you know. But Paul stands before him. He has to speak on his own behalf, but he turns his trial into a gospel meeting. And he asked Agrippa a question. Here's what it was, and I want to ask it to you tonight. Believest thou the scriptures? He says, Agrippa, do you believe the book? He says, I know you believe it. Tell me tonight, do you believe the book? Do you believe the scriptures? If you don't believe the scriptures, I have absolutely no message for you. There is absolutely no hope for you. But I'm asking you tonight, do you believe the scriptures about your need of a Savior? Do you believe the scriptures that unless you're born again, you'll never be in heaven? You say, I do. Do you believe the scriptures when the scripture says that you're just a sinner? You say, that's one to swallow. If you don't swallow that one, you don't believe the scriptures. Do you believe the scriptures tonight that you have a soul within your breast that will never die? Do you believe the scriptures that outside Jerusalem city gate a man was forced to die for sin? Oh, he says, Agrippa, you know for sure, Agrippa, you're absolutely clear from the Old Testament prophets, for it tells us in the Old Testament prophets that Christ would come and Christ would die. They brought Christ before him in earlier verses. The Savior of sinners had died in Golgotha's tree. He says, tell me, Agrippa. And if Festus, he spoke, he interrupts. He says, Paul, you're beside yourself. You're overlearned. Your mind's almost gone. You're going mad. Paul doesn't even speak to Festus. Whenever heaven refuses to speak to a sinner, they're lost, you know. You ever notice that in Scripture? Festus, he interrupts the conversation. But Paul addresses the king. Heaven has no word for Festus. Did you take that in tonight? You could be sitting in a seat tonight in this gospel meeting. And you might be the only one here in the hall designed to be seen. See, God doesn't speak to masses. He speaks to individuals. And tonight, as our brother has said, if you have a little inkling within your soul to be saved, you cherish that. For there's those in our world never will have it again. You say, maybe I missed it, Willie. Now let me tell you something. Let me clear this up for you. If you have a desire to be saved, you haven't missed it. For no person who missed it can get a desire. And that desire you have is not of your own making. That's of the making of the Holy Spirit of God. And here's a man called Agrippa. As he's sitting before Paul, Paul brings the message right to him. Oh, the place is full of people. But Paul says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? You know what Agrippa said? He says, Paul, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian. You see, some of us who have meetings, we say, here's a boy's going to get it. Number one, the right preacher's there. There never was a more gifted preacher, I may say this truth to be true, apart from Christ himself, than the Apostle Paul. This is heaven's greatest preacher on earth, apart from Christ. The right man's there. And here's a king, and he's come to a realization of his need. This man's bound to get saved. I just call him almost persuaded. This is a hopeful position, you know. When you have a person on the threshold of salvation, there is hope. Man, there's hope. But let me tell you, whenever you're near salvation, hell's aware of it. There's a real devil in this world. He has one ambition. And this gospel meeting. Well, he's not in the pub down the town tonight. Those boys are all right. He has them blinded. It's in this gospel meeting. And he's trying his utmost to get you to sleep for another 3 minutes. The meeting's finished. And if he can get you past it for another 3 minutes, he's won the day. Because when you're almost persuaded, he's there to snatch away the good seed of the word. He's saying that man's right. But we're not telling you we're wrong. He's saying those men are right. You need to be saved if ever you're going to be in heaven. But don't you make a fool of yourself tonight. Don't you do like Agrippa. You look at the chief captains. and you look at the mighty man that's there, and don't embarrass yourself before them all. Don't you do anything foolish tonight. Don't do anything quickly. Leave it till tomorrow. He says, I'm almost persuaded. His pride kept him back from salvation. How could a king confess before these people that he was a sinner? How could a king profess before these people that he deserved nothing but judgment? He says, Paul, I'm almost persuaded. Paul looks at him. He says, I would wish not only that you were fully persuaded, but all those that hear me this day, he says, whereas I am, apart from these bonds. You see, that's the heart of every gospel preacher. I'd love to see you all persuaded, you know. But I can't persuade one. Wesley can't persuade one. You never met two more hopeless or helpless people in relation to the matter of salvation. We can do absolutely nothing for you. You are one with a will of your own, and tonight I believe there's one here. Maybe there's a time when you're almost persuaded. Maybe tonight you're almost persuaded. As you stand on that situation, this is a golden opportunity. Golden opportunities only come your way once. This was the first time Agrippa ever heard Paul. This was the last time Agrippa ever heard Paul. This was his first gospel meeting. This was his last gospel meeting. Oh, he didn't die that year. He lived for years after. But in that gospel meeting, he sealed his eternal destiny. He said, by doing what? By doing nothing. Just putting it off. Tonight, Agrippa's lost. And if you were able to speak to him, you know what I believe his greatest torment is tonight? A wee apostle called Paul. He said, I can see him yet. He lifted up his hand and he beckoned me. He says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He said, I know you believe. Don't you believe? You would argue your work that this old book is true. If someone told you the Savior never rose from the dead, you say, not at all. If you say he could sin, you say, not at all. I know that God gave his only Son. And you would give your life for the book. But you're not persuaded. You're not prepared to trust Christ tonight. You're not prepared to give the whole thing up, the world up, the friends up, the all around you up. You say, I want to tell you, when it comes to that moment when you leave this world, whether it's by the side of a road or whether it's on a deathbed, those companions will not count for that. They probably even won't come to your funeral. May even go part of the way, not even go to the graveside. That's the way they do now. They want it, as long as they're seen at the house, they're away like that. That's all they care about you. But tonight, heaven says you're almost persuaded. I wonder will you settle it tonight? Behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. May God save you for his glory. Father, as we bow before thee, we feel the solemnity of the hour. We wonder, is there one here tonight? And they're hearing the call of God. They're standing on the very threshold of salvation, and they say, tomorrow night, I'm going to get it settled. Father, this is their last opportunity. May God tonight lay it upon their heart that it's now or never. Bring a soul to Christ. The glory shall all be thine. Give your name mercies as we partner Savior's name. Amen. Number 396, please. So near to the kingdom, yet what dost thou lack? So near to the kingdom, what keepeth thee back? Renounce every idol, though dear it may be, and come to the Savior by pleading with thee. We'll stand for this first verse only. Of the chorus, and our meeting is over.